May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In John chapter 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And in doing that, he let them know that from time to time in this fallen world that we're going to get dirty feet. And even though we've been cleansed, we belong to him, that if we're going to have fellowship with him, we've got to let him wash our feet. We've got to come before him and be honest, not be afraid to be transparent and admit that we've sinned and allow him to cleanse us. That's his gift to us, is to cleanse us again and again. He comes to us, reminds us in Advent season that one of the ways he comes to us again and again is in mercy and grace to forgive us. And then there's the Lord's Supper celebrated, and there are the conversations that are had in all the different gospel accounts. But in the John account, particularly in chapter 13, as Jesus begins to tell them that he's going to be leaving them in one sense, and so they're only getting bits and pieces of what God's doing, but Jesus says, I've got to go away. And just like I told the Jews, they couldn't go where I'm going, you can't go where I'm going either. Well, that concerned Peter, it upset Peter. I'm sure it upset all of them, but Peter was always the quickest one to speak up. It was both his blessing and his curse. And he says, Simon Peter said to him in verse 36 of chapter 13, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me, but you shall follow me later. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? Right now, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered and said, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, keep believing also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There are several dominant themes in the Gospel of John, revelation of the love of God, other things like that. But more importantly, Jesus reveals to the Gospel of John the way man was created to live. And he defines that with terms that we've talked about many times, is that Jesus said, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. And as the Son of Man filled with the Holy Spirit, there's only one explanation for the life I live, and that is the Father doing his works through me. And then he begins to reveal to them, as particularly in the upper room discourse, just before he's to be crucified, that they're called to the same life. As he's called to reveal the likeness of his Father as the Son of Man, they're called to reveal his likeness, Jesus' likeness, as mankind. And as just as the Father has been in him and he's been in the Father, and he calls that an abiding place, an abode. He says, you're going to be in me and I'm going to be in you. You can't get closer in abiding than that. And that's one of the dominant words, particularly in Upper Room Discourse, is the word abide, John 15, abode, John 14. And over and over again, he uses that term about an abiding place. It's a spiritual reality of union, oneness. I'm in the Father, Father's in me, you're in me, I'm in you. And when he says in the verse part of chapter 13, he just told Peter, are you really going to not deny me? Are you really going to follow me? Lay your life down for me? And says, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And then immediately says, but let not your heart be troubled. That's one of the things I'm so grateful for, is a revelation of the personality of God, is that Jesus didn't say, you're going to deny me three times, you sorry bum. Why are you being so arrogant and such a braggart? What Jesus understood was, those were the longings of Peter's heart. That really was who he was. He longed for that. Unfortunately, just as Jesus had displayed, Peter sometimes got really dirty feet. And most of the time, it was really public. But Jesus had already said that, right? And he said, I'll wash your feet. So he tells Peter that Peter's going to give, other than Judas, who wasn't a real believer, the most famous denial of Jesus in church history. And yet says to him immediately, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. You believe in God, keep believing in me. And then he talks about this dwelling place. In the King James, it says mansions. So all my life, I've heard songs and heard people talk about, we're going to have this great mansion in heaven. The problem is, that's not the word here. It's the same word in the rest of John 14 and in John 15 of abiding place. And Jesus is talking about a spiritual reality. And part of what he's saying to Peter is, think through the context. Jesus has told them that he's going to leave. It frightens and alarms Peter. Peter says, I want to go with you now. And Jesus said, you can follow me later. And then he says, well, I'll follow you now, Lord. I'll never, ever deny you. I'll die for you. And then Jesus challenges him. And what Jesus tells him, without me, you have to go back and look at it yourself for time's sake. But Jesus is basically saying to them, just as I've been in the Father and the Father's in me, I'm going to go prepare a place for you just like that. And I had to prepare that place, I've got to go to the cross. And I've got to be buried, and I've got to rise again and come live inside of you. And he says, then Peter, you won't be frightened like this anymore. You won't feel separated from me ever again. So let not your heart be troubled, Peter. And then he says this awesome thing. I love this. It's so simple. But he says to him, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself. And what was Peter's issue? That Jesus said he was going to leave. And he was startled by that. And in the end, that's why Peter denied. That's why he got afraid. Things were changing. Christ was over there and he couldn't get to him. He was on trial. He was captured. He kind of had handcuffs on him. He couldn't get to him. And he says, I go prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's the most amazing thing to me. Here are these group of people. And they're all going to deny Jesus, in a sense, because they all fled. Only one came back to the cross, John. Peter publicly denies him, and he's the one who's the boldest of them all. Out of fear, out of separation. You know, you hear the term separation anxiety? Peter was experiencing adult separation anxiety because he had given up everything to follow Jesus. Now he can't even get to him. You know, Peter walked on the water because Jesus said, it's me. And Peter's like going, if it's you, Lord, I want to be where you are. He risked everything. That really is who he was. But he was also just like us, right? And Peter says to him, don't let your heart be troubled, Peter. I'm going to go prepare a place for you spiritually, just like I have with the Father. And I'll be your permanent abiding place, and you'll be my permanent abiding place. I'll be in you. You'll be in me. You'll never have to fear me leaving you or being separated from you again. And I'm going to come back at Pentecost. I'm going to receive you to myself so that from now on, everywhere that I am, you're going to be there too. Now, they were all going to deny Jesus. Peter's going to do it publicly 3 times. What a bunch of rascals, unfaithful disciples. And yet Jesus says, I want you so bad. And I want you to experience my life. As a human being, I've experienced the wonders of being in the Father and enjoying the life the Father lived in me and through me. Peter, where I am and wherever I go, I'm doing all this. You see, Jesus didn't die on the cross first and foremost to forgive our sins or so that we'll go to heaven. Heaven's our destiny. Forgiveness of our sins is unlocking the gate. He died on the cross so that these sinful betrayers, sinners, could be in him, could be plunged into his life, who could know what it is to live on earth the very life of Christ himself as their life. We in him, he in us. That where I am, throughout the day, every day, my agenda, you'll be there too. And you'll get to enjoy it and participate in it. That's an amazing, amazing reality. Every time we fall, Jesus does come to us and convicts us. The Holy Spirit, it can break our heart. But as I mentioned yesterday, he's always there encouraging us and say, I did all this so that where I am, you can be. Get up. Enjoy the life that I live. You don't have to fall like that. I want you to be with me. That's salvation. Not just him tapping me on the shoulder and say, forgiven, now go do the best you can for me until one day you'll fall into heaven exhausted. He said, no, salvation is, I'm going to lift you up out of your fallenness, out of your brokenness, so that where I am, every minute of every day, you can be and enjoy the supernatural life that I live. That's the gospel. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.